It's time for One Man's Family now, and then it'll be time for the Quiz Kids. A full hour of entertainment. One Man's Family, then the Quiz Kids.
One Man's Family, brought to you by TABCIN, Tabsin, the new improved antihistaminic tablet for the symptoms of colds and hay fever, made by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today we present Chapter 4, Book 74, entitled This Job of Parenthood. In the library of the family home in Seacliff, San Francisco, Henry Barber is trying to concentrate on the evening paper. Mother Barber is knitting a golf sweater for Clifford, who at the moment is stretched out on the Davenport. April 1950 will go down in the history of the Barber family as the time when the head of the House of Barber was sued for trespass. Henry's attempt to beautify the deserted Rexford Frome place has brought about the first lawsuit in all his years as a law-abiding, respectable, tax-paying citizen. As he sits staring at the paper, his mind is occupied with his lawyer's advice. Judge Hunter and his son Jack have urged him to admit to the trespass and settle the case.
Clifford?
Yes, Ma?
Come and let me hold the sweater up to you. I've got the front done.
Okay, Mom. Tired, Clifford? Not so very, Dad, no. I didn't do much today.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a pretty neat design, Mom. What do you call it?
It's called chicken feet.
Red against gray. It's right down my alley.
Clifford's going to take up golf again, Henry.
Is he indeed?
It'll be nice for you, Clifford. Fresh air, exercise, new people. And who knows, something may turn up.
Yeah, there's a lot of business done on the golf links and tennis court places like that.
That will do nicely for length. Thank you.
Yeah. Ben Hogan wore a sweater something like this when he played at Pebble Beach. I saw it in the movies.
Yes. Have you seen any good movies lately, Clifford?
Not lately, Dad, no. This was quite a while ago.
Yes. I remember a fellow we had working for us in the brokerage business. He was always out of the office somewhere looking for new business, but he couldn't seem to find any. Later, I discovered why.
Why was that, Henry?
He looked for business in the movie theaters. It was too dark in there.
Now, Henry.
It's all right, Mom. All the guys out of a job tell me the same thing. It's kind of rough at home. You have to expect it. Where's Paul?
I'm not sure whether he's up in the studio or not.
I think I'll go up. Excuse me. That's going to be a beautiful sweater, Mom. And thanks a lot.
Henry, you ought to be ashamed.
Yeah. Golf now, eh? If you'd back me up, Fanny, if you'd say to him some evening, now, Clifford, tomorrow you go out and get a job, he might get one.
Henry.
Yes, Fanny, Clifford was ill last year. Yes, I know. Well, even Fred Thompson, his own doctor, why, Fred has asked me twice what Clifford is doing these days. Yes, now, of course, I can say Fred is, playing golf in a new sweater, getting himself in trim for something. Yes, well, that, at any rate, is a step forward. It'll be activity. Yeah, of a kind.
I suppose you realize why you've been picking on everybody, Henry.
Huh?
You've been irritable to every human being you've encountered. You know why, don't you?
Well, why? If what you say is true.
Well, it's true enough. And it certainly isn't my fault or Clifford's fault or Paul's that Rexford Frome is suing you for trespass.
If I said it was?
Well, one would think so, the way you've been making things unpleasant ever since it happened.
Yes, yes.
You bothered Jack and Judge Hunter until I'm surprised they even talked to you. I'll get it. Just stay there, Henry.
Very well, Fanny. Very well.
Yes? Oh, Glenn, I was just talking about you. Yes, he's right here. Judge Hunter, Henry. He's returning your call.
Thank you. And Glenn? I tried to get you twice this afternoon. Yes. Of course you're busy. Well, Glenn, I wanted to know if you won't come over this evening. Yes, I see, but now, look here. This may seem trivial to you, but my good name is involved. In all my years in business, I was never subjected to the indignity of being sued. Hello? Yes. Very well.
Henry, you didn't hang up on him. Shame on you.
Huh? He hung up on me. Lawyers, they're all alike. Same breed the world over. Hang up on me.
What did he say, Henry?
He said I can take his advice or get another lawyer. Very well, I'll get another one.
And what was his advice, Henry?
Have me go before the court with a hangdog air and confess trespassing on the Frome property. Confession and avoidance. That's all he can say. Legal folderol, confession and avoidance. Well, all I did was go over to a run-down, deserted, weed-grown garden and try to keep it from being an eyesore in the neighborhood.
Jack says the judge is right, Henry.
But there are extenuating circumstances, Henry.
There's nothing in the world Rector Trome wouldn't like better than a big fuss in court over this.
Hmm?
Now, just answer me this. Is that Mr. Frome's property? Didn't you cut and trim his hedges without permission?
But I told you...
And the plants. You brought home plants.
They were dying. I told you that.
Oh, worst of all is what you're doing to your own family. You've been impossible to live with for 3 days, Henry, and I won't... Oh, why, Clifford, I didn't see you there.
Oh, sorry. Paul wasn't in his room. I'm on my way.
Just a minute, Clifford. Let me make just one remark, and I'll say it to both of you. Now, if I've seemed out of patience, well, this is a graver matter than any of you realize. I intend to fight this case to the highest court in the land.
You don't mean a word of it, Henry. Now just stop it.
Huh?
You've gone too far, and that's an end to it.
These bright spring days sort of inspire us to get out into the open, whether it means doing some work in the garden, playing 18 holes of golf, or taking a drive in the country with the family. Chances are you've spent some of this weekend outdoors. Trouble is, this spring weather can play tricks with its sudden showers and quick changes in temperature. That's when we're most likely to catch cold. And that's the time to remember Tabsin. Yes, Tabsin is the new improved antihistaminic cold and hay fever tablet made by Miles Laboratories. And Tabsin, T-A-B-C-I-N, can really check cold symptoms fast. Tabsin gives you the benefit of a dependable antihistamine to check the sniffles and sneezes. But Tabsin does even more to relieve cold discomforts. In addition, Tabsin helps reduce fever and relieve the aches and pains of a cold. And there's a special ingredient in Tabsin to counteract that dull, drowsy feeling. So remember, at the first sign of a spring cold, take Tabsin quick. Feel better quick. Tabsin is a smooth-coated tablet, easy to swallow, with no unpleasant aftertaste. Do you have a supply of Tabsin on hand in your home? It's wise to be prepared so you can check cold symptoms fast. Get Tabsin today. That's T-A-B-C-I-N. Tabsin. The bright red tablets in the bright red package at all drugstores. Paul has just arrived at Claudia and Nikki's house, 6 blocks straight down from the family home.
It seems as if somebody in the family is always burdening you with a problem, Paul.
You see, we called you because we realize how fond Joan is of you. And
now, here, will you stop apologizing? I'm delighted. Not only delighted, I'm flattered. And finally, I'm relieved to get away from home.
Dad and his lawsuit?
Honestly.
The old boy is taking it rather hard, isn't he?
Of course, it's pure malice on Rex Frome's part, but I've tried to point out to Dad that the man is sick and that this suit is only a reflection of Rex's boyhood resentment against us barbers, but Dad feels his honor and his integrity have been attacked.
The whole matter could be settled very easily, I imagine.
Of course. Told Jack if he could get Dad to do that, I'd be happy to pay what it costs.
Why should you pay it?
Well, I feel responsible in a way.
Yes, Paul. I know what you mean.
Well, let's get down to Joan. That's the important thing. You say she kicked over the traces a bit this evening, huh?
It may have been my fault. I don't think she felt that I was very sympathetic.
She was resentful toward both of us, Nikki. What are parents to do, Paul?
Well, that's a tough question for a bachelor to answer.
No, I mean, he, Nikki, and I are trying our level best to be intelligent with Joan. We don't want to put too much restraint on her so she'll be frustrated. And yet, we can't just give in to her on everything.
Well, as I've tried to point out to Joan, Paul, there's a fine line between frustration and where license begins.
Really, we're walking a tightrope and no fooling.
Yeah. Just what is this momentous issue?
Well, she said she might want to use several $100s of her inheritance. We told her that it was her money, of course, but the Judge Hunter had arranged for Nikki and me to countersign her checks.
The judge insisted there should be some supervision so her estate wouldn't be dissipated. After all, she is pretty young.
Uh-huh. What'd she want several $100s for, did she say?
No, she wouldn't tell us. She took the position that it was none of our business. We tried to be reasonable. Nikki asked her if she wanted to buy a car and tried to point out that we wouldn't refuse her anything that wasn't foolish.
One thing, my dear, I think it came as quite a shock to her to learn that she couldn't do just as she pleased with the money.
I know it did. I'm sure Judge Hunter told her before. She wasn't listening very close, I guess.
And in the end, she got up and left the house.
Mm-hmm. She didn't say where she was going?
Said she thought it'd do her good to go for a walk. I asked her if she was going over to see you.
Hoping she was.
Yes. but she said no.
I must say that I thought it was very decent of her to add as she left that we shouldn't worry about her.
Yes, she was very cute about it. She said, you don't need to call the police or anything. I won't be gone very long, and I'm not going to do anything desperate.
Well, she's got a very level head when it comes right down to the final analysis.
Positively.
But why wouldn't she tell us what she wanted the money for?
Maybe she thought she wouldn't stand any chance of getting it, eh?
But we're only trying to protect her best interests. So, there you are. We're wrong, no matter which way we turn.
Yeah. Tough situation, isn't it?
Well, that's why we called you. Joan will listen to you. At least she always has.
Yes, but I'm not at all sure what I should say to her. I agree with what you and Nicky say about frustration, and yet there is that other side of how free a rein are you going to give her. It's a difficult age. She's a woman, and she isn't.
That's it. So in this situation, are we to treat her as a woman and let her have her way? Or are we to put restraint on her and be accused of treating her like a child?
I used to think raising children was such a simple thing.
Well, I don't think it's ever simple if you're conscientious. It's easy enough to hammer a child into conforming. That's the thoughtless, lazy way to do it. And that's the way to the detention home, the alcoholic ward.
Quite.
Have you given up the idea of having Joan's portrait painted?
Well, not exactly. Of course, you know about our experience with that Joseph Creighton.
Yeah.
What made you ask about the painting?
Oh, I was wondering what had been done about it.
Oh, we're perfectly willing to go ahead and have it done. In fact, we told Joan that.
And that we'd pay for it.
Done by this Creighton, you mean?
Oh, look here, old boy, I really have to draw the line there. I really can't stand for a blighter like that.
Nicky thought he was just awful. Personally, I thought he was sort of interesting, in an eccentric sort of way.
Mm-hmm. What did Joan think of him?
She was intrigued. In fact, she looked him up in some art books. He apparently is a very good painter as far as that goes.
Uh-huh.
I say, Paul, what is it you're thinking? That Joan wanted the money to engage this chap?
Oh, I don't know. Possible, isn't it?
Well, that's unthinkable. It's almost sordid. This fellow's all of 30 years of age. Well, most unconventional person. Are we going to permit her to pay him for his attention? That's what it would amount to.
He told us in so many words he wasn't interested in painting her.
Quite. Actually, she wouldn't be paying for a portrait. She'd be paying to be around the fellow. Oh, really, now, we have to draw the line somewhere.
Well, look here, I'm not trying to influence you one way or the other.
Of course, we understand that, Paul.
But you did ask me over here for my opinion, so I might as well give it for what it's worth.
Please do.
Joan may want this money for some entirely different purpose. We don't know. But let's assume she has her heart set on having this Creighton painter. Huh?
Yes.
Well, you say you would be willing to have it done, but not by him?
I don't want her to get involved with him. I don't trust him. I don't like his type.
Mm-hmm. Well, you may be quite right about him. I've never seen him. He may be a bounder and all the things you said about him. However, I'd feel a lot safer to have Joan seeing him here in your own house rather than meeting him someplace clandestinely.
Paul, you think it's that serious?
Well, it may not be serious at all, but if Joan's made up her mind she's going to see Joseph Creighton, she's going to do it. And it's going to be with your permission or without it. Now, you know Joan well enough to know that.
I'm afraid he's right about that, Nicky.
Nevertheless, I'm not going to invite trouble. And as I see it, that's what this Creighton represents.
Well, to be truthful, though, Nicky, we know absolutely nothing about him. He may be a perfect gentleman.
I think I'm a better judge of character than that, my dear. If you don't mind, I'm inclined to sit back and see what develops. If we keep quiet, Joan may forget the whole thing. Not that I don't respect your opinion, Paul.
Oh, please, I want you to follow your own judgment. I'd hate to have you take my advice and have it be wrong. Well, I think I'd better get along home. Don't think it'd be so good to have Joan find me here when she gets back.
Sorry we brought you out. Anybody over home besides Mom and Dad when you left?
Cliff, I suppose. I don't know if anybody else is around. I think people are
ducking. Oh, this is my old golf bag, Mom. I just found it down in the basement.
Come around the light where I can see.
I just brushed the cobwebs out of it. Doesn't look bad, does it?
Why, Clifford, I'd forgotten all about that golf bag.
Yeah, you and Dad gave it to me the year I was 17. And here's my good old meshy. Wooden shaft, see? Make them a steel now.
Hello?
It's Hazel. In the library, Hazel.
All right.
Hiya.
You shouldn't leave that door unlatched after dark, Mother.
Whoop, I thought I'd locked it.
You all alone?
Mm-hmm. Dad had to go to a library board meeting, so I had him drop me off.
Well, Cliff.
Yeah. Yeah, you remember these, Cliff?
Weren't they a birthday present years and years ago?
Christmas. I used to play golf with Dad then. Remember?
Of course I do.
Doesn't seem so very long ago, Cliff. Where is Father tonight?
Upstairs, I guess.
He's upstairs, sulking.
What'd you say, Mother?
He's just been impossible for 3 days, Hazel. I told him so tonight.
Mom pinned his ears back with a vengeance.
Now, Clifford.
Hey, this club feels pretty good. Did you notice the sweater Mom's making for me, Hazel? Pattern's called chicken's feet.
Yes, I saw it yesterday. You've done a lot, Mother.
It goes very fast.
You and Father haven't had a fuss, have you, Mother?
Well, he's as grumpy as he can be.
I bet Dan didn't want to come in, did he?
What's that?
Dad cornered him yesterday and talked his arm off. He heard enough about the lawsuit to last him for quite a while, didn't he? Okay, loyal wife doesn't answer.
Dan had to go to a meeting, Claire.
Yeah.
I've been rather worried about the lawsuit myself. That's one reason I wanted to come over. Doesn't he have to file an answer pretty soon?
Not to the last possible minute. And he's going to keep things in a turmoil right up to the bell.
Clifford, be careful with that club.
Okay, Mom. Remember when I used to practice my swings in the living room? I was kind of a golf nut back there, wasn't I?
No.
And then here goes our happy evening.
What's that?
I think I heard Dad coming downstairs. Well, here he comes. Look for the storm cellar.
Now, just don't pay any attention, either of you. Let him be as grumpy as he likes. He'll get over it.
Hey, who's singing?
Well, hey, sir. Well, when did you drop in? Are you all alone?
Yes, hello, Father.
Oh, why didn't you tell me she was here, Fanny? Where's Daniel?
He went to a meeting. He'll pick me up in about an hour.
Splendid, splendid. We've time for a nice chat, eh? Well, Clifford, what's all this?
It's the golf club.
Your mother and I gave you those clubs, didn't we? Good, sturdy, wooden clubs. They made things better in those days. Here, let me take that.
Henry. Do you feel all right?
Top of the world, Fanny. I've been upstairs thinking this case over, and I've worked it all out.
You have, Henry?
Yes. Matter of fact, I was going to run over to Jack's, but now that you're here, Hazel, I think I'll just phone him.
You go right ahead and do that, Henry. I'm glad you've worked it out.
Yes. These things take a certain amount of careful thought. And then you find that you've arrived at a decision. I read the other day that our problems are worked out in our subconscious minds. Yes, it's very easy. Hello? Jack? Yes. I've worked out the way to handle this lawsuit. Yes, the Frome affair.
Not so loud, Henry.
Yeah? I was thinking, Jack, everybody in the neighborhood saw me over there, but they all know that I was merely trying to do an unselfish public duty. Yes, but on the other hand, trespass is trespass. You can't get away from that. Now, all Frome wants to do is harass me. Yes, but there's nothing he'd like better than a long, involved lawsuit and odious publicity. Yes, so I'll tell you what I've decided that you and Judge Hunter should do. I'm just as guilty as I can be, in the legal sense. Yes, the truth is I'm caught in the act. Inasmuch as the neighbors and my family know perfectly well what my motives were, I want you and Judge Hunter to go into court and plead confession and avoidance. Yes, confession and avoidance, Jack. And pay whatever the cost may be. It can hardly be more than $50. It's merely an annoyance. Yes, well, there's no point upsetting the whole family in a trivial matter of this sort. We'll just fool Mr. Rexford Frome. That's what we'll do. Yeah, he won't get the lawsuit that he expects. We'll pull the rug out from under him.
Great. I knew you'd come to the right decision on it, Dad. Yeah, Well, I'll take care of it first thing in the morning. You won't have anything to worry about now. Judge Hunter will be glad to hear it. Okay, Dad. Good night. Oh, what a relief. Dad's finally decided to follow our advice, Betty.
Well, it's about time. What's the use of having a lawyer if you don't do what he tells you?
Yeah, spent more time on this silly trespass case. Judge Hunter was getting pretty disgusted with Dad. Wonder what brought him around.
Mother Barbara, probably.
Hmm?
I'll bet that's it. She lets him go on just so long, and then she calls a halt.
You're right about that.
Never underestimate the power of a woman, Jack.
Particularly a pretty woman like you, huh?
Not so pretty anymore, I'm afraid.
Who said so?
I did.
And I say you are, so don't argue with your master.
Oh, Jack.
Furthermore, I could use a kiss. What are the chances, kid?
Oh, possible. Not improbable.
Gonna give me trouble, huh?
All right, she talked me into it. Oh, Jack, isn't it wonderful that we have each other?
Here, sit on my lap.
I'm afraid I'll seem a little heavy compared to Sharon Ann or Mary Lou.
Nope. If I closed my eyes, I'd think I was holding one of the triplets.
You feel all set up since you got that phone call. Were you worried about Father Barber?
Oh, not worried exactly, but it's kind of tough handling something for your own family. Now that we can go ahead and settle the case, I can get back in the groove down at the office.
Yeah. Oh, everything's wonderful. One of these days, Mr. Jack Barber, you'll be the head of the firm. You wait and see. My husband, counselor at law, respected and feared by everybody.
Feared?
Well, feared by wrongdoers.
Now, look, Betty, I ain't in the criminal business.
Oh, ain't you? Anyway, I think you're perfect and... For gosh sakes, who can that be?
Oh, brother.
I'll go, Jack.
I'm just thinking about going to bed.
Suppose it could be, Father Barber? Hello, John. Hello.
Come on in. Hiya, John.
Hi. I hope I didn't wake any of the kids ringing the doorbell.
Oh, they're sound little sleepers.
Once they get to sleep, add that, Betty.
Yeah. Sit down, Joan.
Okay.
Don't you want to take off your coat?
No, I'm only going to stay a minute.
You out all by yourself?
Mm-hmm. I've been walking around for a while. Claudia and Nikki burned me up tonight, so I thought I'd take the air before I blew my top.
Well, I guess the air did the trick. You seem calm enough now.
I'm still burning inside, though. I walked by your house a couple of times, and then I decided to come in and take some of it out on you.
Okay, fire away.
Am I supposed to be in on this, too, or just Jack?
Well, maybe neither of you. It depends. I wanted to ask Jack some questions about my inheritance.
Oh, if you want to talk business, I'll go on upstairs.
It's okay, Betty. There's no secret about this. I just wanted to clear up some things.
Well, what seems to be your trouble, Joan?
Has Judge Hunter turned everything over to you?
You mean your estate?
Yeah. Claudia and Nikki said you were handling it now.
Well, some of the details, yes. But Judge Hunter's the trustee, Joan. He makes all the decisions, supervises the investments and all that sort of thing.
What I want to know is this my money or not?
Well, what you got on your 18th birthday is yours, sure. You got $5,000 cash, plus your monthly allowance. I brought all the stuff over and gave it to Claudia and Nikki myself. Didn't they explain it to you? What is it you don't understand?
I don't understand why I can't do what I want with the money if it's mine. Judge Hunter, or you or somebody's got it fixed, so Claudia or Nikki has to sign my check or it's no good.
That's right.
Well, I don't think it's right at all. Why do I have to have somebody supervising me like I was a child? Judge Hunter told me that the law considered me an adult as soon as I was 18. Well, if I'm an adult, why can't he treat me like one?
Well, just a minute now. Take it easy, Joan. Let me explain something here.
Did Grandmother Roberts put that in her will? Or was it Judge Hunter who decided that I wasn't responsible?
Hey, honey.
Why don't you let Jack explain it, Joan?
Okay.
You see, Joan, a trustee is subject to supervision by the court. He has to protect your estate. He has a great responsibility.
And all that business about being an adult doesn't mean a thing.
Well, of course it does. It's true that for most intents and purposes, you're an adult in the eyes of the law, but things like that are always subject to interpretation and qualification.
Oh, sure. You talk just like Judge Hunter.
Well, look, did you want to draw a check for some money and Claudia and Nikki refused to sign it? Is that your trouble?
I don't know how much I might want yet.
Well, aren't you jumping the gun a little? I'm sure they're going to be reasonable. The point is, we don't want you to do anything foolish.
But supposing I don't think it's foolish and they do, then I can't do a thing about it.
Not if it's contrary to their better judgment, no.
There you are, just as I said. It really isn't my money at all. And as far as I'm concerned, you can tell Judge Hunter to keep the old money. Tell him to give it to the Red Cross where it'll do somebody some good. Certainly isn't doing me any good.
He hasn't any power to do anything like that.
Has plenty of power over me.
Well, let's calm down now. What did you have in mind to do with this money you want?
What business is it of anybody's what I want it for?
Hey!
Don't talk that way, Joan.
Oh, I knew it wouldn't do me any good to ask you about it. And you can tell that old fuddy-duddy Judge Hunter what I think of him, too.
Well, wait a minute, Joan.
I'm sick of being treated like a child.
Gosh, Betty, you think I ought to go after her?
I certainly do not. I think she acted perfectly horrid.
Really on the warpath, isn't she?
I don't know why she should talk to you like that. It isn't your fault.
Hi-ho, lack-a-day. Get one thing settled and something else pops up.
Poor Jack.
It was just such a little while ago that the law seemed such a pleasant occupation.
Oh, you're tired. Let's go to bed.
Okay, honey.
Thank you.
think that Mother Barber would have enough to keep her busy in the family circle, but somehow she always finds time for any worthy community project as well. As Hazel remarked...
Honestly, Mother, you're always working. Don't you ever enjoy just sitting like Whistler's mother with your hands folded in your lap?
Why, Hazel, this isn't work. It's just something for the ladies' aid at church.
I thought for a moment you were opening up a private drugstore in the family living room. All these bandages, adhesive, cotton...
You see, my dear, we have three families we're looking after. Some of the ladies are stocking the pantry shelves, and some are filling up the linen cabinets,
and I take it your project is the family medicine chest.
Yes, Hazel, all those things the family should have ready for little emergencies.
Well, you seem to have thought of everything. Ointment for burns, antiseptic for cuts, eyedroppers, thermometer. Uh-oh. Haven't you forgotten something, Mother?
Oh, dear, I hope not, Hazel.
I don't see any Tabson, the family standby for coals.
Oh, no, Hazel, I didn't forget Tabson. I asked Clifford to bring me 6 packages from Jameson's drugstore.
I thought it was odd you'd forget the way you campaigned for Tabson in our family. You know, the only member of the Murray household not in favor of Tabson's Pinky.
Pinky? Why, Hazel, that's strange. Those tablets are so pleasant to take.
Oh, he has no objection to taking it. It's just that in the old days, a cold gave Pinky an excuse to stay home from high school. Now, Tabson gets after a cold so fast, my non-academic son loses an opportunity to play hooky.
Well, Pinky notwithstanding, certainly most people welcome the opportunity to check cold symptoms fast. And Tabson, the new antihistaminic cold tablet, does just that. Tabson, spelled T-A-B-C-I-N, does more for you when you're suffering with a cold. Tabson is more than just another antihistaminic product. True, it does contain an effective antihistamine to check sniffles and sneezes and nose and throat irritation. But Tabson goes further. It also helps relieve the aches and pains of a cold and reduce fever. And Tabson contains still another dependable ingredient that helps offset drowsiness. Tabson is smooth-coated, easier to swallow. Yes, keep Tabson on hand in your home all the time. Then, when you first feel a cold coming on, take Tabson quick. T-A-B-C-I-N. Tabson for cold and hay fever symptoms. The bright red tablets in the bright red package at all drugstores. You've just heard Chapter 4, Book 74 of One Man's Family, written and produced under the direction of Carlton E. Morse for T-A-B-C-I-N. Tabson, the new improved antihistaminic tablet for the symptoms of colds and hay fever, made by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Chapter 5, entitled Joseph Creighton, Fraud or Genius, will come to you next week at this same time. And now the family invites you to stay tuned for the Quiz Kids, who follow immediately over most of these stations. Don't miss today's program, because Dr. Paul A. Witte, Professor of Education, Northwestern University, will announce the winners of the Quiz Kids Best Teacher Contest for 1950. One Man's Family comes to you from California. Today, hear Harvest of Stars and American Album on NBC.